we are going to get started right into our message today. And yes, I am not Pastor Richie. Yes, I am filling in for him today. I did want to say this, a special thank you to everybody who prayed for us over the last couple of weeks. Eric and Richie, their dad had a heart attack, and so he was in a pretty critical condition, pretty critical condition. But we are thankful that we serve a God who raises the dead, because we literally saw him raised to life. And so we are so thankful for you guys. That's why I said we've been using those prayer and praise cards, man. We have been keeping in contact with our community and like, hey, this is our prayer point today. Hey, this is what we could use agreement on. And we have felt God. We have felt him really undergird, especially like my mother-in-law through this time, really undergird her and her community rallying around her. And so thank you guys for doing that. We're so thankful for you. And also, let's just go right into, we are taking the summer, and we are talking about 1 Corinthians. And so we love this book. We love Max Lucado. Why did I say John Maxwell? Max Lucado. We love how he pulled out the overarching themes of 1 Corinthians, and he really dissected them and talked about them in a way that we as the believers can really grow from that. And so I'm thankful for this book and for you guys. There's books in the back. If you don't have one, please grab one. But this week, if you know and you're following along with us, then you know that we are in week number 6 or lesson number 6, which is my very favorite topic to talk about, temptation. It is not my favorite topic to talk about at all. And I was like, convenient that you'll be out of town this week and I have to talk about that right now. We do hard things. That's right, Toby, we do. Man, sometimes those words just come right back and bite you, you know? But we wanted to go ahead and jump right into that today. And before we go into our text, I just wanted to lay a foundation and kind of talk about some of the misconceptions that temptation can have. In youth ministry, this is a great topic. Aaron and I, we would love to talk about temptation in youth ministry because we're helping those kids really become vulnerable and learn about how to put themselves in community where don't fight this by yourself, but something happens when we grow up in the church and we become vulnerable as students, but maybe as we get older, we start to hide a little bit and start to, instead of coming out and really reaching out to people, especially in our community groups or, you know, men gathering around men or women around women, but we actually hide those temptations, we hide those things that we're struggling with, and I don't think it's God's plan for his people to struggle alone. I don't believe that at all. And so I want to just talk about something real quick. If you guys want to throw up my definition for temptation, or to tempt or entice, it means this: to attract artfully or skillfully, or by arousing hope or desire. I want to just talk about artfully and skillfully you're tempted, okay? So it doesn't mean that the temptation comes out of nowhere. That's like nothing that I've struggled with is going to hit me in the face and cause me to want to move in that direction. But it's the artful and the skillful way that the enemy uses those things in our life, maybe things from our past, and he's skillful in how he works those things out for not for our good, for the opposite of our good. And one of the misconceptions that we talk about in church is that we get in this habit of categorizing sin, where we say, like, these sins are the unforgivable. That if you sinned in this category, you're done. But if you sinned in this category, just ask forgiveness, is okay, and everything's all right. And what happens is that's where we start to divide. That's where some things become easy for us to talk about in the body of Christ. And like, hey, I'm struggling with this. Can you pray with me? But then there are some things where, like, I can't talk about that because there's a stigma attached to that. And so we hide in that way. So the enemy is artful and he's skillful in how he does it. And I said this to someone the other day and they kind of like took a step back. I said, the enemy's been watching you your whole life. He knows how to trick you. He's watched you your whole life. So he's not going to come at you and tempt you with something that's not an issue for you. He tempts you with something you've struggled with in the past. Maybe something that you've walked through and God's already delivered you from. Sometimes it's just the mind. He just tempts your mind. He takes your peace. If he can get your peace, then he's got your mind, right? So that's the areas where I really want to talk about today. So why are we tempted? Why do we get tempted? My temptation is different than Eric's temptation. Eric's temptation is different than my temptation. The same for Helen. We don't struggle with the same thing. If we did, then there would be a formula, right? There would be a formula. Like, oh, if you see that, then just run away, right? If we were all tempted by the same thing, but like I said before, it's pertinent to you and to your situation, to what you've walked through, to the things that you deal with. James 1, 12 through 14 says this, God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterwards, they will receive a crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. And remember, when you are being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. Everyone say, God is not tempting you.
God is not tempting
you. God is not tempting you. God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else. Temptations come by our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sin, and sinful actions, when allowed to grow, give birth to death. So that's the progression. It comes by what feels good to us, that artful and skillful arousal of hope. What feels good to us, that's how he hooks us and draws us in, right? And then we think on the thought, we contemplate it in our mind, and then sometimes we choose to walk out the action. And that's where the Bible talks about those steps of progression. James is real clear on how that happens. We're not blindsided by sin. We're not blindsided by temptation. We know that it's coming, and he's given us a way of escape for that. Point number one is this. It's not you, it's me. Those of you who dated when you were, 5 years old, 10 years old, you gave this excuse for a reason as to why you broke up with someone. It's not you, it's me. Or if you ever went to youth camp and broke up with your girlfriend the week afterwards, you're like, it's just the Lord dealing with me, it's not you. No, this is real, though. When it comes to our temptation, it's for us. It's specific to you. Like we talked about before, it doesn't necessarily mean that my temptation is the same. Although it can be, but a lot of times it's specific. And the way that the enemy comes in with that temptation is specific. 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9 says this. I don't think I have any slides today. I forgot the flash driving home today. It's perfect. I thought Richie was leaving it for something else. It's great. Anyway, it's fine. Okay, so 1 Peter 5, 8. I'm sorry. Do you guys want to see my tablet? It's a big enough font. It's like my mom's phone font here. Okay. 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9 says this. I love you. It says this. Stay alert, watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. And it was interesting because Toby used this reference today in Team Rally. If you have never attended a Team Rally, attend Team Rally. It's awesome. It's usually about 9:50 or 10 o'clock, but it's an awesome time of just prayer with the team. But prowling around like a roaring lion. So the enemy, he kind of does this little sneaky thing, if you think about it this way, and I like the visual that Peter is giving us here, where he says, he prowls around like a roaring lion. When you watch National Geographic or Animal Planet or something like that, and you watch a lion attack an animal, what does he do? He doesn't just run up and like, hey guys, that's not how it works. He's skillful in what he does. Right? So he watches his prey. He's keyed into when is a good time? When is that animal vulnerable? When are they vulnerable for the attack? And a lot of times you'll see they'll rush up, and what do? They isolate what? They isolate one. He'll isolate one. And he'll get the one away from the herd, right? And then he pounces on him. And so the point number two is this. Temptation is strongest when you are isolated. When we are away, we pull ourselves away. Sometimes we pull ourselves away because we're shamed. Sometimes we think, man, like I can't talk about what's going on in my life right now. Remember that goes back to the very beginning, how we talked about it becomes the stigma of sin. Like I did this, so there's a stigma attached to that. And really, what we need to be doing is we need to be recruiting the help of the believers around us. I'm not saying we need to come up here and confess our sins to everybody. We are not God. You confess your sins to God. But when you're talking about recruiting help and accountability, that's when we need to recruit the help of the friends and the believers that we have around us, those people that we trust to speak truth into our life, right? Truth into our life. Because you can be in a situation and you can have somebody just tell you what you want to hear, and that doesn't do you any good. It doesn't do you any good. We love friends like that. They make us feel really good about what we're doing and when we're doing it and how we're doing it. But the problem is those same people that just want to itch your ears and give you, you know, a good feeling in your ears, that same situation will cause you to stumble and to fall. And that person who is telling you what you want to hear will shame you. They shame you. They bait you to the edge and then shame you when you fall over the cliff. So we stay and we stand firm. We recruit the help of the believers around us, those people that we trust, those people that you can say, like, man, I'm going through something right now. I just need you to pray with me. The devil is really on me right now. He's really in my ear. I'm really dealing with something right now. And when you do that, the Holy Spirit comes in and he partners with you. He gives you the strength that you need. And so many times we have felt this where you're not walking alone. You're not walking alone. You feel the believers. You feel people around you. You feel the strength of them really rise up. So number two, temptation is strongest when you are isolated, when he can pull you away and get you away from your group, your community, those people around you that love you. We did an online survey this week, and some of you participated in it. Thank you for the ones that did. But we did a survey, and we asked people, did you go to church growing up? And then if you did, do you go to church now? Or if you don't, then do you go to church now? Basically, we're asking this question. And the number one answer, why, the follow-up question with why do you go to church now, the number one answer was community, which I thought was so interesting because it's a hard yes for us, obviously. It's in our name. It's who we are. But for people that don't even go to our church or for people that maybe don't hear what we hear, for them to say, like, I grew up and I didn't have a good community growing up, and now that I'm in church, I feel stronger. I feel like I can resist the devil. I feel like I can resist temptation. It was crazy to me. I'm reading these things, and I'm thinking, like, man, God, you are so good, because it's all stuff that we have to talk about this week. So that is the number one reason, and I thought it was so interesting. Is that your reason why you come to church? And if it is, how many people do you know that need to benefit from that? How many people? How many people do I pass by on a daily basis who I need to invite to church? The lady at Starbucks that I see every single day that always tells me, yeah, I'm really going through something right now. My kid's doing this right now. My kid. Do I need to be Jesus? Do I need to be that light in the community? Yes, that is what he's called us to do. And don't sit on the benefit that you have. Just like salvation. We get so excited about salvation. When you're newly saved, you want everybody to get saved because you feel freedom in Jesus. You feel his Holy Spirit. You feel the presence of God. And you want everyone to experience that. And just like that feeling gets dulled, sometimes what we walk through with our temptation becomes dulled. Like, I'm just going to fight it on my own. I'm tired of telling people about it. I'm tired of asking people to pray for me about this. It's too big of a struggle. So we isolate, we pull back. Okay, number three is this. Temptation is not a sin. Everyone is tempted. Jesus was tempted. Temptation is not the sin. The sin comes when we think on the thought, we allow it to germinate in our mind, and then we give root, like the Bible says, we give action to that. That's when it becomes a sin. So some of you in here, You're so analytical. You're so analytical that you'll think a thought and you'll be like, oh my gosh, I'm going to hell. I know I'm going to hell. I had the thought. I'm going to hell. You'll lay on the couch for 2 days. You'll be like, I don't know why I thought that. What's wrong with me? What did I? Instead of just taking those thoughts captive according to the obedience of Christ The enemy knows you. He's artful. He's skillful. We know that. He's going to hurl things at us all day long. He's going to tell us all the time things from our past. He's going to try to come at us with things for our future. Oh, you got that diagnosis. Here's your future. But no, no, no. We know who the power of the Holy Spirit is living inside of us. We know that He raised the dead. We know that He's forgiven our sins as far as the east is from the west. God doesn't remember it, so I'm not going to remember that anymore. What was a temptation for me then is not a temptation for me anymore, because God has given me the power to walk out of that. So some of us today, we need to really guard against that tool of the enemy. That's where he'll come in and try to steal your peace. The peace that passes all understanding is what helps us get through those really difficult times. So if he can rob us of our peace, man, then we are vulnerable. We're open to the attack of the enemy. So don't let him rob your peace. If you have that temptation, if you have that thought in your mind, take that thought captive according to the obedience of Christ. That's our tool for that. Okay, here's where we get into our text. You guys don't have it. I have it. Here's it. 1 Corinthians 10:12-13 says this. If you think you are standing, be strong. Be careful. Everyone say, be careful.
Be careful.
Not to fall. The temptation in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted more than you can stand. When you are tempted, He will show you a way so that you can endure it. He will give you the tools and show you how to escape. He provided the way of escape for us. So we don't have to take it. We don't have to take what the enemy hurls at us, because we know he's going to hurl things at us all day long. Lies all day long. Death sentence all day long. Sickness all day long. Disease all day long. He's going to hurl those things at us all day long. But we know that God has given us a way of escape, and that we don't have to stand underneath that. We stand whole, healed. Our mind is whole. We have the mind and the memory of Christ. Everything that we think on, we can think on a higher power. We don't have to think low, like Richie says, come up, think higher. He wants to make you soar. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about when we think at this level, when I think like this, I can't see what's above that, right? I can't see what God has already given me the victory, that he's already done it. He's already done it. What I have to do is I have to exercise my faith in this process, and I have to say, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Lord, I see that You've provided a way for me to not be tempted in this. Show me how to walk out of this right now. That's how we do it. I was thinking about this. One of the things that we learn about in school, obviously, for health education, one avenue that we work on is behavior modification. And people are going to have an opinion either way about behavior modification. Some say it works, some doesn't. But there are specific steps that you take to help people modify a behavior, a negative behavior, and move to a positive behavior. And one of the areas where we really focus on in school is this area of like Alcoholics Anonymous and their 12-step program. And so I was doing a little bit of research about that, and I found that in the 12-step program, that step 5 is actually the hardest step. We would automatically assume that like not drinking, that's the first step, right? No, step 5 has actually been proven to be a harder step in the process of that, because step 5 is admitting to God, admitting to myself, and admitting to my loved ones that I've made a poor choice. The confession of that is actually harder than not drinking. That's crazy. It blew my mind. Because I thought, man, the whole thing is that it's the alcohol, right? That's the thing. It's the sin that's hidden, guys. I can control this. I can maintain this. But instead of doing that, when I can confess, to God, Lord, I've sinned against you. When I can confess to my family and say, like, I'm sorry, I've sinned against you. And when I can confess to my faults, to my family, to my sins, and to the Lord, then comes healing. Because something that my mom always said to us when we were growing up as kids, and it's never been more true than now that I'm an adult is this. Anything that's in the darkness has power over you. Anything that's in the darkness has power over you. Any secret that you have has power over you. When you confess that, when you recruit the help of those people around you, those community group members, those people that you trust and love, when you say like, hey, I'm struggling with this, it doesn't have power over you anymore. It doesn't. It loses its power because it can't mess with your mind anymore, right? Because you take your thoughts captive, you confess, you start to walk out that process, and then you have a group of people around you, right, who can uplift you and hold you up. So I thought that was so interesting. One of the practical methods that we use is called pre-commitment. And some of you, I like to do practical stuff. Yes, we do the. Yes, we're going to do the spiritual stuff, of course. But I also like to give a practical method for how you can avoid something and temptation, one of those things. The practical method is in school, we do this thing called pre-commitment. So I make a pre-commitment to something, or I make a pre-commitment to not do something, and that helps me avoid the temptation of that. So let me give you a for instance. A for instance would be, I am an alcoholic, like we talked about before. I am an alcoholic. So for me, knowing that all my friends after work go out to drink, so my pre-commitment is when I wake up, I say, okay, today when my friends ask me to go out to have a drink, I'm going to say, no thanks, I'm going home. That's my pre-commitment. And I've rehearsed it in my mind, and I've given myself a way out, and I'm not falling prey to like, oh, I kind of want to go, I kind of don't want to go, no. You know, you right? You know, you have the tendency, you know what's coming, so you it's called a preemptive plan of attack. So you have a preemptive plan. For some of you, it's, I know that I'm going through something right now, and if I call this person on the phone, it's going to turn into a gossip session, and I know I need to not just not call them right now. Right? For some of us, it could be whatever. The list of things could be innumerable in here with what we struggle with and how we create our plan, our pre-commitment to that. And so some of you, that's your practical step today, is taking that pre-commitment, making that pre-commitment. When this happens, I'm not going to do that. Or this is how I'm going to avoid it. Listen, truth be known. Truth be known. In my home, I will take down a bag of chips. I will take it down. I will take it down. And so one of the things, my pre-commitment, is don't buy chips. Right. Don't buy chips. It's that simple, right? Because I will be like Smeagol over in the corner, hoarding it, screaming at the kids, like, don't take my chips, you know? They're like, Mom, with the chips, you know? So we just don't go there. We just don't go there. And that's just an easy little simple thing that we can do. Some of you struggle with, man, I just love sweets. Yeah. I just love sweets. This is my, like, trainer throw in there. Throwing it in there, right? So some of us need to just say, I'm not buying that. If I want it, I'll go out and get it. But I'm not keeping it in the house. That's just a little simple way that we do that. All right, now number four, my last point is this. Band, if you guys want to come and play. My last point is this. You can't resist temptation on your own. You can't do it on your own. We know that we need the help of the believers, but more importantly than the help of friends and community around us, we need the help of the Holy Spirit. And some of us don't realize, that when you got saved, you have the Holy Spirit now living on the inside of you. Some doctrines will try to make it like, well, you have to have the evidence of this in order for you to have that. No, you were given a measure of the Holy Spirit when you asked Christ into your heart. He lives inside of you. So the life that you live, you don't live on your own, you live through Christ, right? That's how we do that. That's how we do this. That's how we walk out our salvation. So no longer can I say to myself, like, I just couldn't resist. No, because I've been given the Holy Spirit that lives inside of me, and I have access to all the fruits of the Spirit, including self-control. All access. I've been granted all access. So for us to say, I can't do it, is not true. It is true. You have Him living inside of you. One of the best and most favorite verses couple of verses of mine in the Bible is Ephesians 6, 10 through 13. And he's saying this, Paul's saying this, a final word, be strong in the Lord and in the power in his mighty power. Put on the armor of God so that when you are able to stand, so that you are able to stand firm against the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. Therefore, here's where it gets good. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all these things, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take a sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And lastly, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert. Say, stay alert.
Stay alert.
Stay alert. And be persistent in your prayers for all believers. That's our key. That's our key as believers. Stay alert and be prepared and pray. Put on the full armor of God. He's got you. He's got you covered. And he provided a way of escape for you to escape whatever comes at you. But Missy, it's this. He's got you. But Missy, it's this. He's got you. But Missy, I just had a heart attack. He's got you. He's got you. He provided a way of escape for us. When you start to live in this way, and you start to recognize that you have the power of Christ living inside of you, and you really access his Holy Spirit, and you wake up every single day like this, what ends up happening is that the enemy gets so angry. He gets so angry because you've rendered him powerless. One of the things that I challenge you this week, and if you have a second, grab your phone, grab a pen, something, write it down, write it on your hand. Write your grocery note on your hand. Write it on your hand. And it's this. My challenge of the week is this. Every day, wake up and pray. Pray. Sometimes I have to pray before I even get out of bed. Because as soon as I wake up, I open my eyes, I feel the attack of the enemy. Sometimes I had a nasty dream and I'm like, I'm not taking that today. Just got to wake up and pray right away. So we're going to pray. We're going to put on the armor of God. Number two. We are going to put on the helmet of salvation, that breastplate of righteousness, belt of truth, feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We're taking up that shield, and we're taking up that sword, and that's our armor. That's how we fight the enemy. What can he throw at you? What can penetrate that? You have heavenly armor. He's given you everything that you need. Our third thing is that we're going to have our pre-commitment. Some of us need to have it. That's our practical. We got to have that pre-commitment. And the last thing is this, we're going to walk in confidence. We're going to walk in confidence. I'm not going to walk like Pastor Richie says. I'm not going to walk down and depressed and sad because I feel overcome. I feel overburdened by that. Man, you got the armor of Christ on. When you walk into your day, when you open that door, I pray that the Holy Spirit... If you have not prayed and put on the armor of God, I pray that when you walk out and go to walk out your door, the Holy Spirit would convict you. That's what I pray. Because you are powerful. You are powerful. You are God's agent in the earth today. That's how he uses. He brings people to Christ. If we went around the room and said, like, how did you come to church? It would be because somebody invited you. It was because your parents were like, no, you're going to church. Right? That's my story. Mom's like, no, you're going to church. Get up. I'm tired. Get up. It doesn't work that way. Not in this house. Go somewhere else and live. No, I'm kidding. She didn't say that to us. She should have said that to us. No. But really, though, just really recognizing who you are in Christ and what he's given you and the power that he's given you. And so when we do that, we become agents for Christ in the earth that he can work through. And don't sit on the goodness of God in your life. Don't sit on that. Don't sit on that. Tell people about him. Tell them how good he's been in your life. People may be able to think they can argue with the Bible and think they can argue with all kinds of things. They can't argue with you or your testimony.
That's right.
They can't argue with that. Man, I cracked a rib when I was in high school, and I did not think that I was going to get healed, and God healed me miraculously. That is a true story. That is a real thing that really happened. I broke a rib, and I wanted to go to camp, and I couldn't go to camp because mom's like, no, you have a broken rib. There's no way. Sleeping on a tent? No way. And I was like, Lord, you got to make a way for me to go to camp. I'll fake it. I'm totally better. But you know what happened? My youth group crowded around me, and they were like, oh no, Missy's going to camp. They crowded around me. They prayed for me. They anointed me. Man, we're talking about teenage kids. And I was healed. Totally healed. No one can argue with that testimony. I felt it. I felt it. And the same with you. Lois. Given a death sentence. Look at this woman right here. Sitting here praising God. We don't serve a God who's weak and distraught. We serve a God of healing. Healing. Stand up, Les Brady. Lord, we thank you for your goodness today. We thank you for your goodness in this house. We have so much to be grateful for. I thank you that you restore, you heal, you bring life. I thank you, God, that we are going to live that way this week. We are going to live, God, like people who know that they have a heavenly daddy who's got it. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for this service today, God. And I thank you for even as we leave today, God. I thank you that we're going to walk out what you have called us to walk out, God. And that our very life is going to be a testimony of your faithfulness, Lord. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that our struggle and our battle is just an avenue for you to get all the glory. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for restoring. I thank you for restoring marriages. I thank you for restoring people's lives. And I thank you that we are not going to sit on your goodness anymore. That we're going to tell the world about it, Lord. I pray you would give us boldness. I pray you would give us an uncanny ability to speak truth into people's lives. And I thank you that as we go out, that people are going to know TCC by our good works. I thank you that they're going to know us by our good works, not by what we say, but by what we do. And I thank you for that today. In Jesus' name, amen.